Welcome to Showbiz Atlanta. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. And this is the show not for glitz and glam, not for all the sexy, exciting stuff. This is for the behind the scenes, what goes on, how does it all work with all this showbiz production we've got going on in Atlanta. And today, I am very excited to have a wonderful guest. I have Dale Sizemore, who is the founder and CEO of Flip Films, which he's going to tell us all about, because I'm telling you, I've been involved in this business now for a little while, and I did not know about all the things that go on behind the scenes, so I'm just starting to learn. So welcome, Dale.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dana.
So before we get into exactly what Flip Films does, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to create it in the first place?
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Throughout my whole career, I found that getting information into the hands of people who needed it in the format that they needed in the right time frame was very, very important. And a lot of technologies had done that. And I read an article in December of last year, 2010, that said how difficult it was to film in a community and how hard it was for communities to make it easy to do that. And that's basically assembling information from a lot of different places and getting it in the hands of folks. So I dwelled upon my experience in connecting information sources together and said, I bet I can fix that problem. So that's what I did.
Okay. So connecting information sources to the people that need that information, what was your background? What were you doing before?
I had a wide range of experiences in sales and marketing of information sharing technologies.
Okay. So now Flip Films does really what for people?
Flips Film stands for
Flips
Film.
I'm saying it wrong,
oh, that's
too.
Okay. It's Film Location Intelligent Permitting System. And it is designed.
Wait, say that again one more time.
Flips Film, Film Location Intelligent Permitting System.
Okay.
So it's designed to help plan and permit and gain coordination, stitch together all the requirements and policies that you would need to film in a given community, make the information available, be able to apply for it, and know that it's going to get into the right hands of people so they can take a quick, prompt action to be able to approve or deny an application. Because the only thing worse than a no is a slow no. And production people need to know if I can go to community one or community two. If there's an event that stops them from going community number one on that weekend, quickly know about it. Maybe they just swap the production dates and everybody's happy.
So let's say, so basically there's a lot, you can't just go, I want to, you know, I'm a very rich, super famous producer, director of Hollywood something, and I want to come to Atlanta and go to, let's say, Dunwoody and film something. I can't just go there and show up and film something. I'll get arrested, right?
Well, you may not get arrested, but it would be inconvenient at best. But you actually do need to coordinate with the local folks.
Okay.
And it depends upon the complexity of it. If it's on private property, it's not so bad. But if you're going to be using public property and streets and sophisticated applications for a location, you really need to coordinate. And the, as you said earlier, the complexity is so vast, it's hard to believe that anybody ever gets these things done at all. It's a wonderful demonstration of how people coordinate things. It ranges from the fire and the police and public works to business licenses and use of fire hydrants and inspections of temporary structures and pyrotechnics and on and on and on. It's a very complicated process and it has to be coordinated. The common denominator is that everything happens fast. If you make a mistake, it's expensive.
Yeah.
And they have to get all the information as quickly as possible and reduce the variables.
So also, I gave an example. Of course, in every example I give, I'm going to be very rich and famous and come from Hollywood. Why not? But I gave an example of I want to come in town and shoot something in Dunwoody. But that's not really how it happens for a lot of these productions. And I'm sure people have seen like yellow signs directing crew and cast and stuff all over town.
Yes.
And for a lot of these productions that come into town, they don't just film in one location or one town. So they want to come in and they want to hit locations all over town. So now you're not talking about just dealing with one community, one set of government. You're talking about multiple.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Instead, they come to you.
Well, that's exactly what this is designed to do, is help them facilitate that. They may have multiple locations in the same community on the same day. That happened up in one Northeast Georgia county not so long ago. They had two actual locations within the county, both of which had different kinds of approvals that were necessary in coordination, but it was all in the same county, same day. So it moves pretty fast sometimes. The larger productions, of course, take longer, but they may very well be in Dunwoody one day, they may be in Carrollton the next day, and maybe up in Habersham County the next day.
Sure.
So, yes, they bounce around pretty quickly.
So I'm this rich, famous Hollywood producer, and I call you up, and I say, I want to come to Atlanta and do some filming there. And what do you do? You actually coordinate with the communities, with the government offices?
Yeah, it actually starts a lot of times well before they plan to come. A TV production company called me a couple of weeks ago and said, we're going to be filming in Atlanta, a TV show, 5 episodes in late January. So what they'll do is they will have already identified with their location scouts and location managers where they want to film. So we're no conflict with any of those kind of folks. We're kind of like multiple listing services to realtors. We kind of help support them in their efforts. They say, we want to film in Dunwoody or someplace that you mentioned. They would say, we want to get approval to film there on these tentative dates and times. They would go to our service, it's a web-based technology, and apply and say, we want to film Attack of the Peanuts or something. and be able to say, we want to film this date and time. Here's all the information about it. So everybody in the community can make a prompt, accurate assessment. Say, you know what, you're good to go. That's kind of dates and times and everything. We're all good to go there. With that information, the film company can lock down the plans to travel there. They can follow up with their insurance requirements and fees or anything else that they have to submit. But they need to know, is this someplace I can go to right away?
Now, when they come to you, do they usually give you, like, do they say for sure and it has to be Saturday, January 8th, and it has to be this time to this time? Or do they usually give you multiple options? We could do it this day or this day. We could do it on this location or this location.
The experiences that I've talked with communities in the last few months, they've pretty much been specific. We want to film on Monday, a week from today, or something like that. So they'll typically give them a relatively short amount of time, but they know where and when they want to film and the kinds of scenes that they want to film at that point.
So I'm the community now. I'm on the other side, right? The community offices, first of all, we know they're only open, I'm sure, government hours, right? So like 8 or 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So you can't really do anything too last minute, I would imagine, right?
That's a difficult paradigm for the folks. I have not met many of the people who are really knowingly trying to put up any roadblocks. They're really trying to make this as open and as possible. And they try. And many times they'll get a call on a Friday afternoon. And even if they know someone and they kind of know the person that they probably want to talk to, the folk that that person has to interact with and all the other departments are not available 24/7. And that's kind of what we do is we open up the doors of the business in the community to get at least the information out there and be able to put the policies officially in place so you can apply for it. And then when they do get back in town, they can quickly make an assessment. They don't have to stop, call together a meeting of 4 or 5 different departments with the people and their schedules and disrupt that and all that time and effort and expense to the communities. So the communities can make it easier, better, faster for them to apply and get the applications and at the same time save them money for the personnel costs to actually approve it.
So you're actually helping on the community side. It's not just that you're helping the Hollywood side.
That's right.
For lack of a better term. You're actually helping the communities to streamline their process and make it easier on them as well.
That's true. That's true, Dana. And we also have the opportunity of showcasing local vendors in the community. If you're going to close a street in a given community, wouldn't it be nice to know who provides the street closure equipment or the porta potties or catering or florists and things like that?
Right.
That you really want to get those people locally. That's something else that we also showcase and that kind of differentiates us.
I was going to ask you, actually, from a community standpoint, what is the benefit to a community of having a production there? I mean, I can sort of see the downsides, obviously. If you're closing roads, businesses might get upset or, you know, people that live in the town might get annoyed or whatever. But what are the benefits?
I wondered about that when I was getting ready to start this business. So I asked a unit production manager, pretty seasoned veteran, who's a friend of mine. A friend of a friend of mine, and I asked him what the production value was at the beginning of a relatively small film. He said for a $6 to $8 million film, it wasn't very much money, only $50,000 a day estimated.
To the community.
That they spend at the early part of a production. Then it goes up to several hundred thousand dollars a day. That's money that's being spent in a community many times.
Yeah.
The Georgia Chamber of Commerce and a number of other local communities have identified that the value of a tourist in Georgia is $2,000. So if they can attract tourism to a community at $2,000 per tourist, that's some pretty heavy spending. And, of course, there's some recent articles in different magazines lately in the Atlanta area. They were talking about the cascading effect of everything from the apartment complex that they rented to the lumber company to the transportation facilities and restaurants and all that. It really adds up well. Local lodging, couple of hundred rooms, that adds up pretty quickly to the community.
So the communities want to be known as relatively easy to deal with, and they want, because they would rather have the money, let's say, going to Dunwoody instead of Roswell if they're competing with each other or whatever.
That's right.
Okay. Have you, okay, so let's back up a second. When did you start this business?
I started this business on December 8th, 2010 at 8:15 in the morning.
I was going to say what time, and you totally beat me to the punch.
Sorry.
So, not too long ago.
That's right.
A year.
That's right, a little over a year.
Because you just saw that this was growing, this industry here.
I read an article that it said how difficult it was. I was drinking coffee, reading the paper.
What kind of coffee? No.
Green Mountain.
Excellent.
But the cat and I were sitting there reading the paper.
This show is not sponsored by Green Mountain Coffee.
Yet.
But call us.
But I read this and I said, come on, somebody's got to be doing this kind of stuff. And I, after doing that research, I said, come on. So I joined Georgia Tech's ATDC, Advanced Technology Development Center, which is a wonderful catalyst for entrepreneurs here in the Georgia area. Met a number of really good, talented people there and assembled my development staff and my support team there. And we rolled out some product with some sketched out specs. And by April, we had paying customers.
Wow. That's most businesses would love to be in that boat.
I was pretty proud of it. I've had a pretty strong work ethic all my life, but I didn't know any better. I thought everybody did it that way. But apparently, that's not the way that most entrepreneurs launch. But it was a bootstrap business. It's software as a service, so it's very flexible, tailored. And we have the ability of customizing input and feedback from the different communities. And the feedback from the communities as well as the production industry has been just remarkable. It's just so nice to be able to solve problems for real people and keep jobs in America.
So now you didn't already know people in the industry when you started this. You just literally were like sitting there with the cat and the coffee and reading an article and said, okay, I want to do this.
That's right.
We should like frame your picture and put it up somewhere, because I think a lot of people feel like in order to do anything that they already have to be connected or to know someone or, you know what I mean, or have that specific background. But I think when you have a good idea, it's a good idea, right?
That's true. I've learned so much over the last year, especially from my fellow entrepreneurs. The importance of just getting a real product out there in the marketplace is very, very important. They call it minimal viable product, but dead bum, just get something out there. People will refine it from there. But if you don't get it out there and just sit there and say, ready, aim, nothing gets done.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm a serial entrepreneur myself, and I really, for the number of businesses I've had and been a part of, I have very few business plans to my name.
Yeah.
More of a, you know, point and shoot and figure it out later kind of gal. But I'm sure Elizabeth could talk to that too.
Hey, that's why you're here.
Yeah. So in the year that you've been doing this, have you seen continued growth? I mean, are you seeing more and more productions coming to Atlanta?
Yes. I'm seeing a lot of smaller productions, oddly enough. And I believe that's partly because of the lower cost of technology. You can do things with video editing and cameras and that kind of stuff. That's the prices and all that has dropped, as well as the budgets for financing. Some of the film financiers are starting to want to diversify their risk a bit more, and they'd rather do $5, $20 million films than one $100 million film that takes a big risk. So if you do that and you've got the whole economics of the film funding organized, you have a much better way of doing that. Well, if you have a $20 million film, you may not have the budget to hire fleets of people to do some of the things, so you have to rely on technology.
Yeah.
So there's more independent films and lower budget films that are being done, and that means there's more films that are being done, and it's smaller grains of sand, but there's a lot more of them.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of that kind of stuff that's going on.
Now, is that true for also commercials and industrials
and
all that kind of stuff?
And
all different kinds of
productions,
not just feature films or whether they're high or low budget.
That's correct.
And do those differ in terms of what they need from communities?
They have the same kinds of things. They may not require as much of them, but they all need the same kind of stuff. If you close a street, you close a street. You may not close it for a whole day, but you do close a street. They will need some flexibility, shall we say. They may not have seasoned veterans who have done this before, and you may have the producer who's wearing four or five hats.
Yeah.
He's done the location scouting and doing three or four other things too. So they need all the help that they can get to reduce the variables. As you pointed out at the beginning of the show, there's so many variables and risk. There's weather, there's stars, there's availability, there's all kind of factors. Let's reduce those things that we can reduce the variability on them.
So I'm sure all of the up-and-coming and already big and famous producers and directors and executive producers are listening to the show right now, and they're all wanting to know how to find you. So how do they find you?
The best way is to go to our website at www. Flips, F-L-I-P-S, film, flipsfilm.com. Or you can just email me, dale@flipsfilm.com.
Yeah, and you have to get it right, not like me at the beginning of the show. It has to be Flips.
That's right.
Flips film, not flip film. Okay. And talk to me a little bit about where you see the business going, because you seem to be, based on your description of your coffee and your 8:10 in the morning, an idea guy. So you have this idea. Are you just constantly, as you're getting into this, having more and more ideas about how to grow this in different directions that you can go in without giving anything away?
Oh, yes. There's some natural synergies, and there's also some very exciting things that can happen. And I thought I was a creative guy till I brought some of the folks onto my team, and they make my head hurt. They make me look like tapioca pudding compared to some of the ideas. But yeah, there's a lot of natural extensions that can go to this. And I'm getting interesting feedback from the communities and the production teams about it would be nice if we could do this and add that to it as well, because there seems to be more holes in the marketplace that maybe we can fill some of those as well.
You know, it's interesting. I was telling you before we got on the air that I've been doing some work in this field, and I've seen a lot of, I mean, also as a business person and sort of an entrepreneurial person, I've been going at this business, you know, as an actor and kind of coming in and doing a little bit of work on set and stuff. And I'm finding it so interesting to see how sort of not organized it is for a business that's been around as long as, you know, the movie business has. You would think that they would have it all down to a science, but it's really not. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think could be improved.
I agree. Oddly enough, I've done some work with Homeland Security companies in the past, and the emergency response efforts after a natural disaster are very much like the activities that go on for a major production of a movie.
Interesting.
If you think about transportation and coordination and food and personnel and all those kind of things, they do that so well. So there's a lot of synergies that could be learned from the movie production industry and emergency response marketplace.
Yeah, it's interesting, and there's like just so much waste, I think, in the process. And I realize that the little bit of waste sometimes doesn't matter to them because they're spending so much money, as you pointed out, for one day of shooting. Like, so if they waste $1,000 here or $1,000 there, what's the big deal if they're spending millions? But it kind of is amazing that they are willing to just sort of let some of that slip through the cracks.
That's true, but the common denominator there, Dana, is that time is money. If you think you've said you're waiting on the caterer who got delayed for traffic or something, and a funny story where they said the caterer was late, they sent a production assistant to the local coffee shop and said, buy everything in the store at $3.50 a slice and bring it back. Well, that was because their running rate by the hour was hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps.
Right.
So it looks like it's wasteful, but it is get it done,
no matter what
kind of an environment. If we can also avoid surprises where if you had just not known that there was a noise factor or a race that was going to be going on or something that messed up the actual productions and had to come back tomorrow with 100 people in makeup and the cast and crew and all that, let's avoid those kind of surprises, and that keeps them under budget and on time.
Now, when you're doing this work for people, do they just pay you like a consulting fee, or how does that work, if you don't mind my asking?
Oh, please do.
Too late now.
the communities actually subscribe to our service. It's very cost effective. It's about 28 cents an hour, which is much cheaper than getting an illegal alien in a dinosaur outfit waving a sign to promote the community. So we have the communities subscribe on an annual basis, and it's very inexpensive, and then the actual community vendors would sign up. So if the guy that did the transportation of cars or porta potties or sanitation, they would sign up to showcase their communities as well. It's very inexpensive for them too. So the people who benefit like that are the ones that pay the subscription fee for it. And then there's no integration, so it's very, very straightforward and easy to consume and get started on it. The production companies, on the other hand, they don't pay.
Okay.
They don't pay because we want this to be just simple as it can be for them.
Okay.
And again, this is not designed to be a conflict with any of the personnel, no location managers, none of those location scouts. We're not trying to undo what they do. We want to keep them from having to drive across town and get in the Atlanta traffic. We want to make it available 24/7. Again, they would be the realtor. We're like the multiple listing service that helps the realtor sort through all the kind of information before they actually have to start doing business.
So, for example, they could find out before they drove over to Roswell, for example, that there's a bike race on XYZ day. So there's no point in even trying to get those streets because they're already taken.
Well, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And they can put the information in there and find out what the status of this is very quickly. They don't have to drive around. If they were driving to Henry County and it was rush hour traffic, it would be very difficult for them to do that too. So this avoids them having to travel to places, call people on the weekends, and disrupt families in the communities. And a lot of them do try to help out as best they can. But if you call someone on Saturday at home because you needed something, because you failed to contact or you didn't get permission to do that until just recently, that makes a delicate scenario for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad I asked that then, because I was not exactly understanding how it worked. I thought I was, but apparently I wasn't. So it's really the communities and the vendors in those communities that are your customers, really. Well, both sides, but they're your paying customers.
They're my paying customers. That's
okay.
Right.
And so do you have all the local communities signed up, or are you still looking to get some neighborhoods that you haven't gotten in touch with yet, or how is that working?
Don't have them all signed up yet. As a matter of fact, one of them called me while I was waiting before this radio show. They said, oh, this is very interesting. A lot of the convention and visitors bureaus, chambers of commerce, those folks in particular are seeing this as an easy way to help improve the receptivity of their community, make it attractive. They see it as an enhancement to the tourism, which was kind of an interesting aside.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense when you think about where was the Forrest Gump bench and where were these different places filmed. I want to go see that.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Newton County, they have been able to track for 30 years the impact of filming on their tourism. Well, do that times the $2,000 per tourist, and all of a sudden, it doesn't take long to figure out that if you can enhance your tourism for 10, 20, 30 years, that's a pretty good investment of your time and money.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of people that are starting to get excited about it. There's been some major initiatives to associate the filming with tourism as an enhancement. Tourism's our number two industry in the state of Georgia. I didn't realize that.
Really?
Yeah. It's multi-billion dollar business.
I think when you live somewhere too long, you kind of forget. Like, why would you, like, I'm thinking, why would you want to come here? But I guess there are reasons.
Oh, there's many reasons.
Yeah.
And I'll have to compliment the industry and the former legislative folks, representatives, as well as the governor's offices and the film commissions and people in the industry, and Georgia Production Partnerships, all those. They made the tax incentives very consumable and very attractive. So that has gotten the financial attention of the production community. And then they come here and they say, wow, this is wonderful. We've got a cultural diversity. There's a lot of nice things to do in a lot of the communities, not just at metro area. But then they can go to the mountains quickly. They can go out into the farmland. They can get to rural. They can get to beaches. They can make Georgia look like just about anywhere.
That's true.
So you have a cost-effective way of being able to conduct business here. You have easy flights, great airport,
yep.
Lots of things to do. And you can get to and from pretty quickly here. And now we've got a growing workforce. There's about 25,000 people in Georgia associated with the film industry.
Amazing. You know, that actually brings me to another question. Are you focusing solely on Metro Atlanta or the greater Metro Atlanta, or do you have communities in like Savannah or
Georgia?
Anywhere in Georgia.
Georgia is our focus at this point.
Okay.
And we're a full Georgia company.
Okay.
We're headquartered here. We're founded here. Our code was built with Georgia folks. So other than having peach juice as cologne, that's about as close as we can get. But our job is to improve economic development, particularly in the state of Georgia. I have bootstrapped this. So as part of my financial planning and training and experiences, a lot of folks said, well, don't you want to bring on external investors? And I'm not completely resistant to that. But if I decide to expand into an area, either geographic or functionality, I want to do it because it makes sense, not because there's an artificial promise that was made to an investor to be at this point in 3 years or else. I just want to make sure we deliver very, very well on what we do. As I said, I'd rather be a good roadside diner than a Kardashian wedding.
I love that. That's a great line. Can I use that? Can
Please
I steal
do.
It from you? Okay.
Sure.
I think that's actually interesting, too, because I think a lot of businesses, as you sort of alluded to, do make decisions because they have an investor counting on that. And a lot of times that, especially in this type of economic environment, tends to be a mistake. Better to be great at what you do and do it for the right reasons than to just expand without the thought that's needed for that.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're only a year into it.
That's right.
So
it seems like a lot longer than that. But
isn't that funny? When something is going well, it could have been forever, right? Like,
yes.
You can't even imagine that you were ever doing anything else.
It's really been a lot of fun. When you wake up in the morning and you see something that you thought was a good idea, or, as I say, my pretty baby, is it really a pretty baby? And someone else says, yeah, you know, this is really pretty nice. This helps my community. And when you see people who have been in the industry reflect back upon it and you realize you've touched a nerve or solving some problems, there's some folks that I talked with earlier in the year that are in the industry, pretty seasoned veterans. You'd recognize their shows very well. One of them nailed it. He said, every community will want this for their second production. And I said, yeah, that's it.
Why not their first? Explain that.
Because many of them think that it's just easy. Come on here. They'll spend all the money. And they realize the complexity and all the issues that have to happen. And they say, we need a better way.
Okay.
And we actually went to a community up in Northeast Georgia. They signed up back in December. One of their commissioners said, this is like asking us to be the librarian, but no way to organize the books. We just don't know how to do this, and we can't do it haphazardly. It's going to be inconsistent at least, and it could be improper or break rules at best. So it could be a bad scenario for them. So this is an easy way to give them the tools to, as one chamber lady said, this keeps me on task. I've got a real job that I was asked to do and I'm paid to do. I can't do the film coordination as an extra job. I just can't afford to spend time doing all that. They'll handle the exceptions. That's fine. Everybody's willing to do that. But don't make every call an exception.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. Is we help eliminate some of those calls and make it easy for everybody to do what they want to do, make it a wonderful filming experience.
Yeah. So how many people do you have working in your organization right now?
We've got a handful of folks right now. I'm counting all my personalities, but...
count those. I won't tell.
We've got a handful of folks that are working with us, some full-time, some part-time. But it's a minimal staff. It doesn't require a lot of hand-holding because we spent a lot of time and effort up to this point making sure that the process works. And that's one of the reasons you haven't heard more about it yet is because we wanted to make this thing rock solid, roll it out, early customers, early adopters, get their feedback, find out what works to make sure we can deliver quickly and easily. And we're at that point.
So the technology aspect of it is pretty significant.
It's a technology-enabled service.
Okay.
It uses some sophisticated open source programming that's tweaked in a way that customizes it for us. The ability of pulling together the information from the communities, that's the heavy lifting. But as I like to be an entrepreneur who's an optimist, that's also the competitive barrier, one of them anyway.
Yeah.
Is the ability of being able to get this information and get it quickly. It involves coffee.
Lots of it. So the technology side of it, did you have someone else build that? Did you hire contractors? How did you get that together?
I spec'd out the requirements for the functionality, and I spoke with a number of technologists about the best way of doing it, and I actually hired one of my associates over at ATDC's Entrepreneurial Work Circle up in Alpharetta.
Okay.
Who had a master's from Georgia Tech, Frank Rietta, and he has been building a lot of those kind of early stage company technologies out there and had a good reputation, and he's 5 or 6 years out of Georgia Tech with a master's in information security. So he knew what he was doing, and we had some other folks give us a good technical advice as well. My board of advisors that I assembled over the last year had some folks from production and some CTOs from large companies and business people and folks from the banking industry and a lot of different places. So they've given me a lot of insight as well.
Okay. So it's all an online application that people
can go
in and use.
That's right.
Once they've connected with you and...
Yes.
Signed up.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right. And this is probably the best time in the world to have ever decided to start a business because the ability of getting access to resources to do the things that would have been prohibitive in the past, it's gone now. You can cloud things out. You can get technology. And you can get your real message out there very quickly and relatively cost-effectively. My wife might argue that point. But
the cost-effective part?
The cost-effective part. Yeah.
Well, so... Are you having to, or I shouldn't say having to, but are you taking advantage of all of like the mobile computing and all that that's available? Or is that something that you have your eye on for later? Or, I mean, as a technology, I'm not going to say a technology company because it's sort of only part of what you're doing, but you're going to have to keep up, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. We have to test those applications on tablets, and you can actually film, do an application for a film off a mobile device right now. I mean, I have a BlackBerry. I know I'm a dinosaur. But anyway, it works. It works very well. It's reliable. But we've tested on iPhones and Androids and tablets and stuff. But you could actually do that. If you got good glasses, you can actually go through and do that right now off of a mobile device. So some of them has some natural limitations. A tablet would be easier to do it with. But yeah, that's exactly designed to be a 24/7, where you are, when you need it, kind of an application.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So anything else? We're getting close to being out of time, but I want to make sure we get everything covered that you want to cover. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think this is an opportunity to really showcase Georgia's tourism and convention and visitors bureau, streamline the business. I'd love for every community in the state of Georgia to do this because it just makes it that much easier for the filming and TV and folks to come to Georgia and be able to spend their money here. It's a good cost-effective way of doing it. Some of the communities have found some very innovative ways of funding this. I have, if they want to contact me, I'll be happy to have a long-term dialogue with them on that. If anybody wants more information, contact me at www.flipsfilm.com. You can Google us, film permitting in Georgia. We come up pretty high on that. But I appreciate the opportunity of making a contribution about this because it's a fascinating industry. The complexity of what's going on behind the scenes is really a great, great story for a lot of folks to know about. People know there's a lot of filming in Georgia. This is a good venue to be able to showcase the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say.
Well, I think it's fascinating, too, because, again, as someone who's only recently gotten into this industry, it is just amazing how much stuff has to go on to make these productions possible. I think as a fan of TV and movies, you just think that, you know, the trucks pull up and the stars fly into town and someone gets a camera out and boom. But it's not that simple. So
I've never been able to look at another movie the same way.
Yeah, I'm sure. You see all the stuff going on and you in the background and you wonder about it now. And you know, you're like, oh, they closed that street.
That's right.
Those aren't real people walking by. Those are extras. And that street was closed and somebody had to get a permit for that.
Oh, that's right.
That's so fascinating. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. This is Showbiz Atlanta. I'm Dana Barrett. And thank you again, Dale, for joining me.
My pleasure.